This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which, if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good, as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front-runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh. I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. We watched Extreme Days, and we have to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
I want to see Castle!
That
one's louder than any of them.
Calvinism is a concept. No, bitch.
Welcome to GCF, Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
Hey, that was on brand with what we were talking about before. We're here to have good Christian fun.
Fits right in.
What's good Christian fun, Caroline?
It's a podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the movies, the music, the comedy, the action
the comedy.
Flicks.
That's right.
That was made for, by, with,
to,
underneath Christians.
From, outside of.
We were both raised in it. We both know it somewhat well. And we're discovering new
we
things
love Fred
along
McDonald.
The way.
We stand.
Fred Hammond.
Gospel
right?
Legends like Fred. I don't know.
Damn it.
It's kind of the Berenstain Bears.
I could look it up.
It's called the McDonald effect, actually, where you can't remember what something was called before.
Name. Yeah, but we're not here to proselytize.
Or make you go
preach.
To church. We're just here
to
have
take
fun.
Your faith from you.
No, you can have it. We're going to keep it with you. Yeah.
Keep it.
You're good. Hey, keep it. We've said that before. And the topic for today, the movie for today, is Extreme Days, a youth group classic, I guess, probably. I already have such a dismissive tone. It feels like this is like the equivalent of a substitute teacher putting on Saving Private Ryan in a history class when they don't want to do anything. This would be what a youth
Except
pastor does.
Except your students have been demanding this Saving Private Ryan movie for years.
It would appear. So to do that and to get into Extreme Days, we have to have an extremely good guest. Friends and folks, you may know him from his podcast, High and Mighty, Action Boys, Raised by TV, RIP, and The Gino Lombardo Show. Everybody give it the hell up for
John Gabriel!
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, that felt, buddy.
That felt rehearsed. And
good.
And
good.
I meant it as a compliment.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a litmus test of how this is going to go, is the guest reaction
no,
to
not.
The intro.
I'm always... amazed by people who put effort into their podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Like,
just showing up, I was like, holy shit, music, songs, talking.
I don't know. Like, sometimes I think about this a lot. I think about, who was it that I was talking about? Like, people who dress really well or are really put together. There's something like admirable, but oh, you always look nice, or you always have like a nice button-up shirt. Mm-hmm. And then the person who was talking about this, whoever it was in the interview, was like, well, yeah, because I'm compensating for not having anything else. So sometimes I think about, like,
we have enough bells and whistles.
The kind of pomp and circumstance of like, oh yeah, here's this clip, here's this clip, here's this clip, you know.
Interesting.
It's like, is this just us compensating for not being a natural, like a Gabrus?
Well,
on the
see, I think what I do is sort of the opposite, but still compensation.
Yeah.
By not trying, by wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt every day, or shorts and a t-shirt every day, I never look bad. I just look like myself. My show is never bad. It's just like, oh, that's Gabrus. He doesn't try hard.
Can't fail.
Yeah, so that's sort of something I've kind of unfortunately used as my own defense mechanism, which is very simple.
Yeah, it's not like you're raising the bar. You're just doing the bar over and over
right.
again. Setting it. It doesn't change where
it is. Let me add a third metaphor. We all like cake, right?
Love it.
Now, there's cake that is all gussied up and has some nice frosting. It's trying. We'll say. And then there's cake that's also very trendy right now that has a trend called like naked icing, where like the cake is showing through. You've seen it.
Oh, that's Katie. What's her name?
From scraped a little bit.
Milk Bar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she popularized that.
Both cake, both delicious, different styles.
Yeah.
Hey.
Wow.
What's got too much frosting and what has under frosting?
Not nearly enough. And both are popular at different times, and sometimes no one wants either. Sometimes both are sister shows on the HeadGum Network. And for some reason, there's only like one mid-roll ad per episode for like the next 6 months on the calendar.
You guys are calling out HeadGum for our mid-roll ads.
Yeah, no, I want more too. I'll call out fucking Marty Michael to his face.
Marty's a nice man.
He's the nicest, but he's got to get his ass out there.
Sweet boy, I understand.
Double me down for him.
Yeah, it's not our fault being a Christian forward podcast.
Yeah.
And it's not your fault for being a Christian forward podcast yourself.
Exactly, right.
I know you've made that pivot recently because you saw what we were doing.
You saw it was really lighting up.
The only Christian thing about my podcast is that I ask for forgiveness after every guest leaves.
You feel remorse afterwards.
Will you please? I am so sorry you did that.
I understand that.
A confession.
No, I was on your show and we talked about a wonderful movie.
if your listeners of this podcast don't know what movie you might talk about outside of Extreme, what is this one called?
Extreme Days.
Extreme Days. What other movie exists for you in your world?
Paddington 2, sir.
just
those two. The two gingers.
That's all you need.
Movies. Yeah, I think so. So we're going from what I consider to be one of the best movies ever made to a movie.
Something.
Yeah.
Maybe more of a music video.
But I had a great time on your show. Oh. We had a nice, really lovely chat.
We got a first date.
Yeah,
I'd
love to.
Yes.
Rihanna, that'd be a nice topic for you.
Yeah.
You might know slightly more about that.
I could talk a lot about that. John, the last time I met you was at the HeadGum party, like their anniversary or birthday party kind of thing.
Where I was maybe hammering down bagels.
That sounds right.
Where I was lying.
That would have been a cool way for us to meet. The story I have of meeting you, it was I was waiting in the bathroom line for a long time, and then I was just standing outside the bathroom, and you walked by, and you're like, "Hey, is this where the bathroom is?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's like the craziest parties in the bathroom or something." And you're just like, okay, you carried on and walked into the bathroom.
I don't know this story.
Kill me.
Kill my.
I mean, you're being totally nice.
You if this makes you feel
like
better
dismissive.
Or worse, I don't remember.
You were just confused and busy. It probably had to pee bad. And
I was, in all honesty, I was probably high as hell. That's the thing, too. You know?
But the thing is, like, I knew who you were, and I was like kind of starstruck a little bit, too. And I was like, I'll make a joke.
That was 2 years ago, because you weren't at the last one.
No.
Oh,
yeah,
that was
that
the
one.
Bagel one. That was the one where I kept going.
Last year was bagel one.
Yeah, going up to the bagel truck and pretending I was getting a bagel for someone else.
You got a
wig on. I was humiliated by how many I was buying.
Different
I was like,
hat.
I kept being like, Karen, did you want? Yeah, okay, she wants the bacon, egg, and cheese one. And I took two home in an Uber.
Ooh, that sounds good.
One for daddy, one for mommy.
Yeah.
No, I understand that. And in a way, it's like we're compensating for, like, well, I guess I can get 12 bagels worth of mid-roll ads.
Yeah, exactly.
They had the truck till 10, so we can do that at least.
They had a bagel truck. I missed out.
Yeah. Gabers, thanks so much for doing this.
Please,
show, man.
Thanks for having
What's
me.
What's your history with religion or God or any of that stuff?
I was raised Catholic. My mom is an Italian Long Island Catholic, Italian-American Long Island Catholic, so it's exactly what I'm sure, I assume it's common for a lot of people that, like, I had church every Sunday when I didn't have my own agency. Once I had my own agency, I didn't go to church except for Easter and Christmas. And then I was in catechism until I got confirmed, and nice. I did all those sacraments all the way through. But I didn't get married in a church or anything. As soon as I was like allowed to be separated from church,
I broke off.
Yeah. I never bought into it. I never disliked it until I learned more about just like, and my issues with the Catholic Church are like my issues with any large corporation. You know, it's like, man, we need slightly a little more oversight in some areas.
Yeah.
And then there's elements to it where I guess I would say I'm an atheist now, but I am not a militant atheist. I don't care about other people believing, because I'm very religion curious. I'm spiritually curious, as I like to say. I'm open-minded. I'm versatile. I'm a bottom.
You swing.
I'm a Buddha. Buddhist bottom.
A Buddhist bottom. Yeah.
But I think I may have told this on some podcast at some point before, but when my dad was dying, my dad was in hospice and he was dying. My dad was never religious. He just did whatever my mom wanted to do in that world. And when my mom really wanted her favorite priest, shout out to Father Valentine.
Love you, Father Valentine.
Yeah, it's really weirdly enough that my mom's maiden name is Valentino, and then now people can hack into my bank account. But
great.
very similar words. But it was her favorite priest, this Indian man, Father Valentine. And when my dad was dying, she really wanted him to read the last rites, not any of the other priests. But Father Valentine was like on a mission, and the fact that my dad, like, my mom wouldn't have anyone else do it. She was wanted, and Father Valentine got back in time, read my dad.
My goodness. And
I'm so anti-religion. I'm so mad at my mom that she's like, I'm like, who cares about the fucking priest? This guy's dying in the living room. You know, let's figure something out. And then when I saw how my mom felt after my dad got his last rites read, I was like, probably gonna take my foot off the gas of atheism and just let everyone believe whatever they want.
Oh, because that was a shift for you.
Yeah, because it just sort of, it just made me, I don't know how to explain the level of atheism I am. I'm just not outwardly atheist. Like, I don't believe in anything, but I don't care what you believe in, unless it affects someone else's life that's important to me.
Yeah.
But when I was seeing that with my mom, I was like, I can't believe I was so anti-religion, because who cares? I you know, like, I fucking love improv. That's dumber than religion. You know, and I'm sitting here going, organized religion is stupid. Well, here's $395.
Same kind of people always that are in it.
Yeah, it's wildly similar. And so seeing my mom in that moment, I was just like, okay, I saw for the first time in my life, and maybe it's just because of my life, I didn't see it before that, a positive effect of religion. And I had just not seen that. I know it exists, like, but everyone puts money in a dish that the church passes around. They never tell you what's going on with that or where that's going, or like show you invoices to charities or what have you. So I never felt like anything the church did was positive. It was just a thing I had to do after karate. Mm-hmm. It was a thing I had to do with I had to go to catechism and I had to learn about religion. I hated school, and I hated church. And now you combine the two into one thing. It's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. Well, especially as a kid too. I mean, your frame of reference of like what the church could be doing for someone is like,
right,
it's limited.
Yes,
right? You know,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
well, I'm curious about the snacks you can offer. And then like
goldfish,
sure,
and cheese.
My mom isn't mad at me. Yeah.
Right,
so
right.
It takes like a dire situation to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And then having seen that, I was like, oh. And I had realized in that moment that I just hadn't seen a real positive religious moment. But then like, as I got a little older and saw and went to some Jewish weddings and some non-Christian weddings, because Catholic weddings are a nightmare. It's a full on mass.
Yeah, how long are they?
That it's just a full, like, it might as it's over 1 hour, okay. You know, because it's just a full mass with communion and all that shit. Mm-hmm. They sneak a full mass. They go, hey, come on out, free open bar. But first, we're gonna go to a different location where you have to sit quietly whole for 90 church. Minutes. Yeah, a whole yeah. They sneak a whole ass church on you. It's like
it's like a pop up.
Yeah, it's like going to a restaurant and they'll be like, oh, but first you must exercise. Like, wait, what?
That's not what I wanted. No.
All right.
Sneaky motherfuckers. And then, but seeing like other more like just truly like powerful moments in other people's religions and ceremonies and stuff, for powerful to them, no effect on me, but just seeing what like a thing that like from Judaism, the hava when they put people in the chair.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That to me is just like the coolest fucking thing.
Yeah.
And I went to like four Jewish weddings in a row, and because I'm visibly capable of carrying chairs, like I just look like the guy, all these older Jewish uncles are always like, get this big guy over here. And it's like, I'm just so happy that that's part of it. You know what I mean? Like, it felt, and so now I have a newfound appreciation for religion. And I'm very open-minded. I want to hear about everyone's, because like when Kevin was on my podcast, I straight up said to him, I'm like, you know, to me, it's the weirdest thing ever that you're an adult who chooses to go to church.
Oh yeah, because I like casually said, oh, at church the other day we were talking about.
Okay. I'm like, I just want to be full disclosure here. That is more. That is probably the weirdest thing you could have said to me. And then I realized like that's so weird. Like that's how. City. That's how I went from my childhood to Brooklyn hipster life to LA hipster life. Mm-hmm. So that's not really a facet of it. And then to see like a person who is not my mom's friend who is into church, I was like, and then that turned. I was
I
like,
be
wait,
your mom's friend if I tried hard enough. Yeah.
You could whether you want to be or not in the long run's up to you.
I'm good with moms, I think. Right?
I bet you are.
Yeah.
I bet you are.
See, this is my energy. Yeah. Like fully my energy, right?
It's also like
just good with mom.
Your dating pool, basically.
Okay.
Age range.
Well, I mean, listen, Jerry on Succession is one thing.
Okay. And by the way, Kevin, we had a back and forth on Twitter about it, and the actor, we didn't tag her, but she liked both tweets. And it was a straight up sort of horny on horny conversation.
She's
about
out there, man.
Yeah.
Wow. She'll go on the main and search and fave and let you know
what
that she knows.
What a delight for her to know. It's like it's basically gonna be positive horny young men or like tweeting about me all the time.
It is
like,
funny that out of all the people in the cast list, she's the most online. It's not anyone else but her.
So
she's like visibly seems to be the most detached from that business.
Maybe she's just got nothing to lose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder, you know, like you're just someone mentions, I feel like in, you know, season 2, episode 8, you're filming Succession and someone goes, hey, did you see on Twitter? They loving this L to the OG shit or whatever. And the actress plays Jerry's like, what's Twitter? Like, you got to get on it. She's like, hell yeah. It's
okay.
Like killing time in the trailer for the rest of, you know, like, oh, I can retweet. Oh, people, these two strange podcasters from LA are horny for
it
me.
It does fit. It's like a micro version of how Twitter for like a couple years was who can be Lin-Manuel Miranda's best friend contest for a lot of people. Of like, oh, here's a gif of me and him together, or here's us like going back and forth. And now it's like for a certain section of men, it's who can get a follow from
Jerry's attention.
Timmy got a follow. Kevin did not. Not yet.
Kevin,
not
I'm
yet.
So sorry.
The night's a puppy.
I mean, the kiss from daddy video. I understand.
Yeah, he did have that going.
Yeah, but Io hung out with her. Io Debris went to like a play with her,
what?
And it was on her Instagram. And it was all like a Twitter connection thing.
What?
Oh, yeah. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Based on Caroline's comment about your dating pool, well, and I feel, and this Jerry conversation, I feel like we might have similar types.
No, we fully, yeah, no, we talked about it, I believe. Yeah. But yeah, that's interesting about the positive effect on religion, that you didn't see it, especially that late, because I feel like a lot of the Catholic guests we have on, some Protestant too, but a lot of the Catholic guests we have on, it isn't emotional. It's just like an assumption for like the family culture. Like, yeah, we're going to church. It's not because like, well, because mom is so passionate about it, or
right.
Dad, were your parents passionate about it?
My mom was, in the way that like a busy mother of three who also works full time can be. She was passionate about it in that she never missed Sunday mass, whether she had to go in the morning or she go Saturday night if Sunday, she had to work Sunday. She would never miss mass. She knew all the priests, but she also like when my dad died, would like went to a psychic, and like she's not like a strict Catholic, but she is sort of like a believes enough stuff. It's almost like she's a, what's the word I'm looking for? A superstitious Catholic more than anything else. Yeah. So like if I don't go to church, shit can fall apart. Yeah.
Oh, totally. But, yeah.
But for, I think a lot of people my age, especially being specific to my peer group coming up in the Catholic Church in Long Island at the time, none of us, it didn't feel like anyone, and you, the idea of like a youth pastor and hearing shit like that, that's stuff that we didn't have. It was just old farty people not trying to get you excited about religion, but just telling you about religion. And I just, it was one of those things where, and I know it, I grew up in the 90s where it was like, it was a little more like hands off and no one gave a shit. But it just was like, how could you expect a kid to care about Catholicism? And I think that's why I was so taken aback by you saying you went to church, because I think everyone I came up with was sort of like, I have no reason to stay in this fucking thing. You know, like I'll maybe get married in a church just because that's what my friends do and that's what my mom wants. But, and my brother's like, you know, my family gets like the christening done and all that stuff, baptism done, all to make my mom happy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? All because it's just like, so it was one of those things where I'm like, all they had to do was like talk to us about faith and explain. But Catholicism is a little old fashioned in the way that they don't even, they're like, if you're not on board, fuck you, we'll guilt you into caring.
Yeah. Because there is like a thirsty sort of tap dance that does happen in Protestant culture where it's like, this is relevant to your lives and we can have pogs with, you know, the disciples on them if you want to, and like like any sort of marketing or brand like truly contextualization or outreach to get people interested in a way that is like, as we talk about on the show, like flagrantly and nakedly desperate. But there is at least the effort there.
But there is something about just trying to translate it for the audience that you're giving it to. Like, if you've been to a Catholic mass, it's aggressively boring. Like, it's almost intentionally boring because it's centuries old or whatever. Mm-hmm. But how are you expecting a 12-year-old kid who's sitting there where fucking Game Boy exists and they're supposed to sit here and listen to this guy
absorb
be like,
how that applies to me now.
Yeah.
It's like a discussion with him later. Yeah. It sounds like school, like going to elementary school, like it probably felt the same way to you.
It was no different. I couldn't, you had to be
probably
quiet.
Probably almost worse than that. Like you didn't get recess or there wasn't like a, as much of a maybe community feel.
Right. It was just like school. And that's what it sucked. It was like, I just went to school Monday through Friday and I got to go on Sunday. And then as I got older, I had to go on like whatever it was, one night a week, Wednesdays for, we called it church class or whatever, but it was catechism.
Yeah.
And it was just like, this is unappealing.
Yeah, like, why would you stay in elementary school forever? You can get if you graduate.
It felt like, I even remember being a kid being like leaving. I'd be like, Mom, why wouldn't they like do anything for the, there's visibly kids here. Why isn't there anything for kids that like any appeal to them? Like the homily could just mention something from life or pop culture that's relatable, you know, and not nothing. And for if the listener, I'm assuming if you're listening to Good Christian Fun, you know what a homily is, but that's the part where the priest is allowed to freestyle, you know, like that's.
Oh, I don't know if I even knew that, like specifically.
Yeah.
So the rest of Mass is stayed and kind of.
Yeah, it's got like a pretty much a rundown. And then the homily is where the priest flexes on like what they want to talk about at that moment.
But how long does that last?
That could be between 5 and 10 minutes.
Okay,
it's
so
not
it
long.
Is
it's like a little mini sermon.
That sounds like your ideal version of any sort of sermon is 5 to 10 minutes.
I think if church was you show up and the priest talks to you for 20 minutes about what he's got going on and
perfect.
Like and what you should think about, and then everyone says Our Father and leaves, that sounds like church I can get behind.
Or even just hangs out, you know, and then does whatever after. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Like maybe margaritas and tacos, you guys?
Maybe like beers and Bibles or something
beers
like
and
that.
Bibles.
You guys are, I just picture
more appealing to me.
I just picture youth pastors with like full sleeves having these conversations.
Oh,
you guys
would
come by for some brews and some Bibles?
Yeah,
dude?
We actually meet in a pub.
Just hang out. It's not formal. Yeah, it's just like talk about whatever.
Lager and Leviticus, dude.
Oh yeah, there's a golden road we want to walk down, but it's not the one you think. It is in Glendale, but it's not the one you think.
Yep.
So where do you feel like you got a sense of right and wrong from that time, or like any sort of like moral compass?
Yeah, I don't. I know, like, the Ten Commandments are a great baseline of rules. Like,
sure.
Just like the Constitution is a great baseline.
Yeah. There's a reason they're the greatest hits.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, don't kill someone, don't rob someone, mm-hmm. don't want to fuck your neighbor, don't steal from someone. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's completely reasonable rules. Yeah. I totally get that. And it's like, false idolatry, you're like, yeah, okay, well, I don't even have the honest idolatry, so I don't have a crucifix in my house, so mm-hmm. who cares if I have a tiki god or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think my sense of right and wrong stemmed from, like, I don't know, I had a specific childhood in that, like, I wasn't allowed to, I was, my dad was very strict and, like, very aggressive about, like, he was a punisher, he was a dick, and he lightened up. I was the oldest of three, he lightened up with each kid, so we all have various opinions on him.
Oh, yeah.
But, so that was my right or wrong, was just, like, and I don't know if it's rebellion, but I do not like being told what's right or wrong, I realize now, like, I'm like, even when I was like 16, I was like, trust me that I just know what is right. Like, oh, okay, yes, I did go to the neighbor's house and jump in their pool and then throw all their furniture in their pool. But that's not wrong. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That was like the cases I was always making. I was like, relax, mom. I didn't hurt anybody. I'm not doing opioids,
sort of like,
you know?
Goofy
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, yeah, of course I broke the rules,
rude.
But yeah. But I didn't... kill anyone. I didn't have false idols.
Yeah,
the greatest hits.
Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, it's the 11th commandment is the no vandalism of private property.
Yeah, because it's something true. Even now. Because the thing I think about with a lot of Christianity and religion and stuff is the kind of thing you're saying as it applies to your mom, where it's like, oh, if it worked and it had the positive impact and you could like witness it, then yeah, go ahead. Like, that's totally great if that works for you and you're not hurting other people. But I even wonder about now in the lives of like adults, the efficacy of it as like, well, yeah, it's like good morals, right? Like, that's how we get our morals. I don't know if it's like freeing or limiting to look to religion for those things anymore, because it used to be like, oh yeah, there's some good stuff, like loving your enemies, like that's radical, actually, that's like a radical thing,
right? It's funny you say that, because like I think, and me saying that shit about my dad just kind of triggered this in my head too, is that for me, Catholicism and arguably how I was raised in my house, there wasn't a positive guidance.
Mm-hmm.
It was a negative guidance.
There's a lot of don't do blank.
Right, exactly. And I think religion is like that too. It's not like, here's a map of the path. It's like, keep walking. We will shock you if you go off path. You know what I mean? We will push this button that'll electrocute you if you step off path. And I was like, so
it's
for
like
me,
fear-based kind of actions on how to like live your life.
Yeah. If you're a 14-year-old anti-authority little boy, you're going to be like, fuck all this. Like, I didn't want to listen to my dad. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to listen to the priest. And then confession comes along. And it's like, go in there and tell them what you've done wrong. And you're like, no, I watch action movies. This guy's wearing a wire. This is like, you know what I mean? Like, this guy's going to tell my dad. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way that he's on my side.
Yeah.
And I think if you flip confession to sort of like therapy for kid, like, that's a whole nother story. Like, if you actually trusted your priest and they were like, go in there and talk about your sins. And the priest will be like, look, that's... it's a bummer you did that, but like, that's not the end of the world, you know, like, say a couple of prayers, but also in the future, when the opportunity arises, choose this choice, which is the stronger, better, more moral choice.
Right. It's like replacing a bad habit with a good one, not just like ending it.
Yeah. Instead, it's just like, go in there and tell this old man you don't know everything you've done wrong, and he'll give you X amount of prayers, and then you're good to go. And you're like, that sounds, because I remember even as a kid saying like, so, okay, I push a kid down the stairs. And then I apologize for it to the priest and say whatever he tells me. I'm absolved of that, but I still pushed a kid down the stairs.
Yeah.
Like, that's still, I just remember being a kid being like, that doesn't sound right. That sounds like a fucking bullshit loophole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, instead of any sort of like real consequence, it just sounded like you got a pass.
Or even like a posture of atonement, like Jewish people have, and like Yom Kippur and all that stuff.
Yes, yeah. And then you sort of like, well, now I'm free to do whatever I want. Like, I understand the idea behind like, we should, blank for our sins. What's the word I'm looking there for?
Atone repent.
Maybe. Either one of those. Atone was the one I was looking for. We should atone for our sins. But at the same time, like, I get that, but there's got to be a way where it can be self-reflective and not just like, tell a tell a stranger this and they tell you what to do to get better. Like, yeah. now that I'm in therapy, I'm like, there's just so much stuff that happens to you when you're a kid that, and especially, I'm sure it's different now for younger kids because my generation is are parents of young kids now. Like, just talk to a kid. Like, we weren't even like asked what we thought or what we cared about or like any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. This is such a tangent, but I just watched that Netflix documentary Fire in Paradise about the fire in Paradise. Cool. Paradise, okay, California. Paradise, California.
That's the one where he's like, I was ready to suck his dick.
Fire in Paradise Festival. Yeah. In this documentary, it's about like there's this whole section where the teachers have to evacuate with the kids, and like they're stuck in a bus and it's filling with smoke and it's like very intense and wild. And then later on, they're in a new school and the teacher is talking to the kids, and these are the kids that survived the fire, that lost their homes, lost their school, every single one of their friends had to move to a new town. And the teacher's like, "Is anyone angry or is anyone sad and not sure why?" And want to talk about. And I was like, holy shit. If someone just asked my fourth grade class that, I think everyone would have done markedly better in life.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just an interesting thing. And that piss, it was a beautiful, I was weeping watching these women, these teachers just absolutely crush it in like caring. And then I'm like, all my generation needed was a couple of people to just be like, hey, everyone says, like, you know, it's so obvious, like, now in hindsight, you're like, the worst behaved kid in school had the hardest life at home. And it's like, that's so fucked up, mm-hmm, that they're just getting punished more and involving their parents.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, I got in trouble all the time for, you know, acting up and not paying attention and trying to get the class and teachers to laugh at me. And then it's like, if they called home, my parents would be like, that's weird. We give him no attention here. I can't imagine why he would be doing that at school. And it's like, all I needed was someone to be like, hey. Like,
yeah, you okay?
You seem like you are a silly kid. Like, have you ever thought about doing something silly in life? Instead, it was just like, hey, shut up. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to teach you about Antigone or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, man?
It was just all like trying to reinforce like what you should be doing kind of thing. And acknowledging like, hey, you must be having a perspective on how this is going. Want to share? You know, or something like that.
Yeah, it's like just the moxie of society to assume that 20 kids, because they live in the same school district, would have anything in common, like, mm-hmm, in their lifestyles and their homes and shit. Yes, we were by the time I was in junior high and high school, it was like mostly white kids, so that we had that in common. But it was just like, at the same time, talk to us, like, just and no kid is going to be like, I went to see the school therapist, you know, like, you're like, because, right, if you do that, you're gonna get wedgied, you're gonna get flushed and shit like that.
There was a school therapist, though.
We had like guidance counselors, like, I forget, it wasn't a therapist, but there was a word for like, mm-hmm, there was a couple of guidance counselors and then someone else in that office who was like, I forget what it was always like, so-and-so got in huge, you know, so-and-so called the Spanish teacher the C word. And it's like, that's when the teacher, like, that's when that person would be involved. Like, the school therapist was mostly like a warden of some, you know, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Give him a talking to.
Right. Yeah. Be like, all right, you're going to sit down with the teacher and apologize. And I, as the person with the psychology major, will also be sitting there.
Yeah.
Moderated.
It feels like boys that are like the class clown kind of thing get the brunt of that really tough, like, discipline kind of thing too.
Yeah.
I think it's I grew up hearing like boys are less mature than girls and they take longer and that's why they're behaving like a child, and so just like ignore them or, you know, smack them around emotionally and right, they'll be fine, you know, like they'll straighten out or whatever. And I feel like you probably got the brunt of that too. And I wonder if you had been a girl or something, if someone would have been like, let's get into your heart, or like, why don't you just cry?
Yeah, or someone was like,
on?
You should do theater.
You know, like, just totally, something like, have you tried musical theater? You might really like letting that out.
Yeah. And I think, like, and this has nothing to do with good Christian fun, but like, I think young boys, I can't speak to young women, but I'm assuming we have very similar issues. But as someone who's lived his life as a young boy for a little bit, you have so much energy and so much you sexual, like, everything about your body, like, and it happens to everyone, it happens to both all genders, but you have so much pent up energy. Boys don't know, I think young boy, and I think they're learning more and more now, but no one told us anything about like, hey, you know, from the ages of like 11 to 15, you're going to be absolutely worked up and on a fucking wire's edge of like ready to flip out on someone. You're either ready, you're going to come, you're going to fight, or you're going to shit, or you're going to do something any minute because your body is...
Or you're going to do an Ace Ventura impression.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
One of the four. Come, shit, fight, Ace Ventura.
Those are, that's the holy quadrinity. Fighters. Yeah.
Quadrilateral pain as a young boy.
So like for me, because it felt like no one kept that in mind. I'm sure now it's different because we're just a little bit more attuned to like development psychology and like weirdo sort of empathetic people are the teachers now. Like our generation is teaching and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm hoping it's better, but it was just, and so that's why when I compare religion to like a major corporate entity to me, because that's what and even education is at that level where it's like, hey, this is how we do things. Get on this path and just stay on it. And if not, we're not going to adjust the path for you, even though individuals are completely different from person to person.
Yeah.
We're not going to adjust the path at all. Just get on. And I do know that some elements of life are you should learn how to be able to do the thing that you don't necessarily want to do. Like that's unfortunately a huge part of being an adult.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's like the one thing school and religion trained you for is like, well, I guess I could sit through this bullshit ass defensive driving course. I sat through church every Sunday when I was at my peak ADD. Now I'm an adult. I guess I could sit through this fucking this meeting about whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can take notes from this executive because I'm so used to just hearing bullshit from a teacher or priest.
Did you watch the Mr. Rogers doc that came out a couple of years? Yeah, because that...
Oh, the doc was great.
And the movie. They were both good. They were both great in like complimentary ways, but it feels like... I don't know, and we've had conversations about like the the morality of certain media or entertainment that's made for over like 40. If you're spending more than $40 million on like a project, like what value are you providing in like a social or a cultural way?
Right,
and it feels like stuff like that, like media, and especially something geared towards a specific audience. And Rogers was like, they get into this a little more in the movie, but truly a strange man who was like could be kind of not sociopathic but just like focused in a way that wasn't pleasant
all the
time about like, oh no, we have to make kids feel this way because they for survival, not because it's like, oh, it's a nice show, but
right
but it's also like I like he believed it in a way that like fundamental extremists believe in their beliefs.
Yeah, you know? Can you believe that like if Mr. Rogers existed now, would he be just trying to sell King Friday toys? You know what I mean?
Like just to survive, yes.
I know. They would be like, no, you have to, we're going to be, these toys are going to be. And it's just like watching, Mr. Rogers is what I think a priest should be.
Yeah.
Like that's, that, Mr. Rogers is such a wonderful man. I hope there's people like that for kids now. Because like, I didn't realize how, and then I watched that documentary and I watched the movie and I'm like, oh man, I did grow up watching this guy and he was like a moment of peace. It was like Bob Ross level peaceful, but even more literally spoke to you, you know? And just like the shit in the doc and like his attitude towards like, I just want to tell kids that whatever feelings they're having are okay. That's something you never, like when you're crying, my dad would like say like, you want me to give you something to cry about? It's like, oh okay, yeah. Well, that's going to make it. And now.
This is not allowed.
Yeah. And now that I've been out of my home for 15 years and out from underneath, you know, and my dad's been dead for 8 years, I fucking cry all the time. I cry at every movie. I cry at Most Modern Family third acts. That has a lot to do with the dad
experience.
That has a lot to do with the dad stuff.
How do you feel like you deprogrammed yourself from that like emotional state when you were a kid to now, where you are more sensitive and more open and unafraid of those things?
Yeah, I swung the other direction and was like a true wild man for like 8 years. You know what I mean? Like I just like lived like a feral person. Like I thought I was Van Wilder all through college.
Sure.
I was the guy who wore board shorts all year in high school, and like I did like I was just this like attention freak, like just doing whatever hosted the talent show, doing all the shit that obviously in hindsight was developing this personality I have now. Yeah. But then when I kind of came out of that and got to be in my mid to late 20s and just like learned more about the world and was like living in New York City and had something I cared about more than myself, being my wife and my then girlfriend and, you know, like shit like that, I just started to like realized that there was, the world was so much bigger than me, and so much, and then all the animosity I had and all the shit that I'm kind of laying out here, all the shit, the complaints I had about religion and my family growing up, I sort of weaponized into like, rather than anger, I was like, well, just don't be like that. Like, and I, it's like such a childish attitude, but like, I am sort of simplistic in that way. So for me, when I was like, yeah, you just don't have to be like that. Mm-hmm. And that was like huge waking moment for me where I was like, it could just like, and now I'm proudly, and I like have monetized my empathy to the point where I can have,
haven't we all?
Yeah. Right. I'm like, I'm so proud of myself where I'm like, I came from a place where I don't think I received empathy, and I'm so happy that, you know, like, I'm of the generation where my dad hit me because his dad hit him even worse. Mm-hmm. And my dad was, I should have been happy to not get beat like he got beat. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm the generation, and I'm speaking sort of collectively, I'm the generation that's like, well, we're not going to do that at all, actually. Mm-hmm. Like,
we'll just flick your ear sometime. Yeah. You know, just a slightly less. Is that cool?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Why are you looking at me when you say that? You can do whatever bodily abuse you want to me, Carol.
Thanks. No,
weird. Put your shirt back on, Porter.
It's not even a little. No, I haven't been bruised here in quite a few months.
You can do whatever you want to me.
But it is. I mean, I guess you've experienced that too with your, with doing your podcast so long, or just being in an audio medium so long, where, like it or not, there are certain pastoral, not even priestly, but pastoral in like the shepherding sense and communication and the like Rogersian stuff.
Yeah.
Of like making people feel seen and known that you just kind of adopt, whether you were like gunning for it or not. That's just kind of the natural trajectory of like hearing from people and just being a good receiver of that stuff as well.
And just like doing a career where you work with new people, if you are working, which, you know, sometimes you go months without working with anyone, or if you're, if it's going smooth, for me, you're working with some, you're working with a completely new group of people weekly. Mm-hmm. And so you have to like learn to meet and adjust to new people all the time. Mm-hmm. And then you're, all of your career stuff is like collaborative. So it's like constantly, and you like just learn that you're like, I have to do things. Like, I have to be part of this system that is the world. Like, and it was just a weird, like a weird thing that happened to me where you start to feel, and then I think I have like a weird, very specific moral code now, but it's so self-centered. Is that the right word? It's so based on my own thoughts.
Yeah.
But I still, I hold other people to
wait,
it.
Wait, what's the moral code? Yeah.
I have severe, I will not speak, I will not hang out with someone again if I do not like the way they engage with servers or baristas or anything like that. If I think that the person is rude to them, I will never eat with them again, because that shit just drives me crazy.
Yeah.
And that's just like, and I think that's just slightly more indicative of everything else. Like, it is, you can extrapolate out from that. But for me, it's also just like, having been a server, having, you know, been around that world, it's just like, there's no need to be a prick to this person. Mm-hmm. Like, literally nothing that happens is their fault. Like,
Like, basically no control over this. Yeah.
If a waiter walked over and just put a fucking bottle of Malbec upside down in my lap, I would let the whole thing flow all over me. I'd be like, Mike, you got to be kidding me. Like, I would never make the person feel bad.
Right.
Because it's just,
well, that's
like,
that's going to take him down to a 30% tip.
Well, and like, interacting with wait staff is one of the only, I feel like, daily, like real blunt power dynamics that people engage in every day. We're even at like work and stuff, it's unclear, but oh, someone's waiting on me, I'm the customer. And so to abuse that is,
yeah. And I think it's people who are not used to having power getting it, that where it's the worst. And that's why I think like corporations, people who are just randomly promoted to the top, priesthood, and then the other examples of that, like nerds with power are always like the worst. You know, people who never had power before and never had, were never considered interesting or cool, they get power. Those people always harness it. I feel like, and I'm, again, I'm just, I'm sure there's exceptions, but I feel like those people, like the guys who like run the independent theater and then it's revealed that he's a mega creep and you're like, yeah, no shit, because this dude was a loser and now he has power over this small world and he's going to lock it in. And I feel like some people activate that when it's the barista, or activate that when it's the waiter, you know?
Which is so bizarre, because you'd think as someone who was on the receiving end of a lot of cruel power, that they'd be better about it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it almost betrays not just getting power, but what you think you deserve.
Right.
Oh. You know, over like...
Caroline.
For sure.
You know, because there's plenty of shitty people that don't get power and think they deserve it and they just carry on with that, whatever. Right. And then there's plenty of great people rise to power quickly and remember, you know, like, oh, well, I don't want to be... I was a server once, basically.
Yeah.
You know,
yes, exactly.
And so I know how that feels.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I want to know the other parts of the moral code, though.
It's all about like my entire quote unquote morality is based on interpersonal. Like, it's so much of like empathy mixed with hands offness. Of like, do whatever the fuck you want. I care for what you choose to do. Don't do anything that hurts other people. But do whatever the fuck you want. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think it's because I came from a place where I was never allowed to do whatever I wanted. Mm-hmm. And now, went away to college and I was like, oh, now I can do whatever I wanted. My family lives like a half hour outside of New York City. When I came home from college, I lived at home for like 4 months while I was working 7 days a week. And it was manageable when I was just sleeping there. I was working, 70 or 80 hours a week right out of college. 2 days a week was at the beach, like, so it wasn't like that was more of a vacation for me. The second that the beach job ended and I had to be like around more, I moved out of my house and started paying rent on a Brooklyn apartment, which was as far from my off where I was PAing as my mom's house. The worst financial decision you can make is just add when you're taking home $294 a week after taxes, adding $1,000 rent. It's like the math just doesn't work out. There's no way you can pay for that.
No.
But anything better than being under those rules again, you know? And so I just vowed to never do that. And then that's why I also vowed to never do it to other people. And I even when I like say shit with like my wife where I'll be like, wait, what are you doing tonight? Like, and I'll have like that thing of like, wait, you're hanging out with that dude again or whatever minor fucking relationship bullshit that happens. The second I start to feel like I'm upset with decisions my wife has made that that don't affect me as much, I like go like I have a panic. I'm like, I'm sorry, actually, dude, I'm backing off. I don't have a right to say that. You can do whatever you want. Hang out with that guy.
Yeah.
Don't fuck him, but you can hang out with him. All right, blow him.
Just 69 if you get fucked.
Yeah, 69. Way less intimate.
Yeah.
I realized that was a callback to an off-air discussion.
Yeah, but
excuse me.
Definitely, but that's great. Set that up. Okay. Never pay it off.
Wonderful.
To the listeners, have them just wonder,
and that's
talking
our
about
version
off
of
mic?
An Easter egg.
What the fuck
egg.
Was that off?
I'm really inspired too by the idea, like what you were talking about when you went through what you did in New York of just dropping something, because I feel like that's something that I aspire to in certain moments of my life of like, oh, this doesn't have to be like when I'm like embroiled and whatever, like
when you realize
those in my own hand, it's like, oh, for no reason.
When you realize it's almost just like, oh, I don't need this backpack full of bricks right now. No. Like, why am I dragging this with me?
No.
Yeah. And it just sometimes you're just like holding on to. And I started to realize that with like anger and being mad at people. And like, and now I just like it's just a little. I still enjoy making fun of people. That's something I have a hard time with, and I'll never lose it. But I do, I do
I'm
it to
with
everyone.
You there, buddy.
I do it to everyone I love.
Trying
so.
My best.
But what if that person told you they were a waiter?
Yeah,
that immediately negate the ability.
You
to
don't make fun of waiters.
No, I'm like spit in my mouth, sir.
Thank you for your service.
A single tear rolls down my face. Yeah.
Oh man. Well, hey, thanks for sharing your story, Gabe.
Oh no!
Really
please.
Nice.
Yeah, I like hearing about it.
Love to talk about myself.
Hey, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh, yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
feel
like
as incredible as to, you could feel
to exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day,
exactly
working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I
first
agree.
Month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the topic.
We're living an extreme day.
This is the song. Extreme days. Okay.
I wish there were more songs in the movie.
Yeah, no. That was my
sample.
Thought, too.
There's
yeah.
over 100 rap rock samples in this movie.
Yeah, this didn't at all strike me as the Suicide Squad of Christian
yes,
filmmaking.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh, every 12 seconds it's a new drop? Great.
Okay.
Before we get into the movie, did you have any experience or exposure at all to Christian pop culture or Christian rock or anything
Nothing.
In that world?
Nothing. Every once in a while I would hear a song and then realize that it was like a Christian song or
uh-huh.
see it just wasn't something anyone in my family was seeking out, so that if we stumbled upon it we would avoid it.
Uh-huh.
But then like later on in life when like Kirk Cameron started making like weird, like I watched some of that shit as like for a gag. Like,
can you believe it?
Saving Christmas.
Yeah.
Or,
Didn't he do like a superhero one too? That's like a Christian superhero one.
Ooh.
There's like a firefighter one. Where
there's Fireproof for sure. He was saving his marriage because he was cranking his hog to pornography.
Oh, anyone
to a boat. Yeah, he wanted to buy a boat. He was also cranking his sign.
Yeah, yeah, that's
right. Like our first episode, basically.
That's that's a good kickoff.
It was a really good intro.
I actually found this movie to be not as Christian as I thought.
Same.
No, it is a light touch.
This is a sports movie first.
Yes, yeah. And I think this is what Christian pop culture should say what you will about this insane movie. It's so 90s, but it should. This is what the level of. Like, any message movie should be this level of message. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just at the end, it's like, hey, by the way, you know. Like,
also, we're all virgins, right? Waiting for marriage. Yeah. Like, there's just like a quick line.
Absolutely.
About that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, when you do Action Boys, your podcast that you do with Dan Rogers and Ryan Stanger, where you talk about different action movies, oftentimes from the 80s and 90s. Like, what is your, because I think about this on our podcast sometimes, what is your goal in talking about them? Like, what do you want to happen in the conversation?
I guess I want, in those moments, I want other people to be open to the things that I kind of, what I grew up on. Because I want other people to see and realize that it's not just schlocky action. There's other fun things going on. You can shut your brain off and enjoy it in this way. You can. Some of them are deeper than others. Some of these are masterpieces. So I kind of like want to just shine lights on these fun, crazy movies. But also, really, in the end, I just want to make listeners laugh. And I guess if we're talking Patreon, I want to make listeners tell their friends to sign up.
Yeah. Laugh every month for a small subscription fee.
Laugh as much as you can and get your friends on board. Do not share this episode with them.
It is all just honor system with Patreon. It's like, well, we hope you're nice.
We hope by the fact that you're a podcast fan, you don't have that many friends.
Yeah, because I think we share similar goals.
A large network.
I think we do share the similar goal of like, yeah, we're just trying to have fun and stuff. Because I am like, I don't know if I want to like understand a different worldview. Because the movies, I don't care. Like some of the music in Christianity, I did grow up with, but none of the movies I did hardly at all. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't have to watch any of these.
Our God is an Awesome God is the song I remember.
He ain't putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God.
There used to be like one infomercial that aired when I was a kid.
Oh, it was like a Christian compilation.
And it was a Christian compilation, and that was one of the songs, and that one burned in my head. But the rest were sort of a little too religious. But that one just, I was like, oh, this is catchy.
Our God. Yes, awesome. It's like a march.
Yes. it kind of swings. He's got a little tude. This is Rich Mullins, R.I.P.
I'd be going. I'd have a tude too if I knew my God was an awesome God.
Wait, have you seen the album cover for this album, by the way?
No.
It's just him and a dog in front of him. It doesn't look like a Christian album.
Winds of Heaven, Stuff of Earth is the name of the album.
A pet portrait studio.
He was a mercurial guy. But it definitely looks like a Macy's portrait of him and his pup. Let's watch the trailer for Extreme Days.
Say cheese.
Road trip. We wanted to surf, skate, and snowboard across California.
For the love of donuts, let's go!
It was now our time, and nothing could stop us.
I spy the eye of apprehension.
Show me risk and you'll get my attention.
Come on. I thought there'd be more dialogue in this trailer.
Trailer is just music.
It's just
for
a song.
Well, there's not much dialogue in the movie. Four guys, one girl.
Oh, that's not a good implication. Yeah.
One Bible, one God.
Hey, I just checked this out. I'll meet you at the car in 10 minutes.
What?
Any way this could be attractive.
They took the farts out.
No,
of
they
that,
did.
See?
They put one in. You
okay.
Just missed it. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Fall 2001.
Cowards.
Fall 2001.
So this is the movie the nation needed.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, it must have been like on September 11th. this album.
Either before or after. All I remember about 9/11 is that it was an album release day because albums used to come out on Tuesdays instead of Fridays.
Yeah.
And I remember
Did Mariah Carey album come out on that day? Someone famous.
I think there was a Mariah Carey album. There's a Bob Dylan album called Love and Theft. And there was a Christian rock band named POD who had an album come out that day as well. Yes.
Okay. 2001 is weird because this movie is so 1996.
Yeah. Or like 96, totally, 98. Like it's a little post-Clueless, it feels like.
Right.
Some of the aesthetics and stuff.
It's really one of my favorite tropes of comedy movies for kids or high school kids, whatever, mm-hmm. that this movie has is the friend whose goofiness is not in any specific choices. It's just like, yeah, he's just a freak. He wears a turban. He wears goggles.
Just
he
like has pure a pure absurd stuff.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
rubs his cousin's head like she's a pet.
Yeah,
he like never understands her. Anything that's mm-hmm. going on.
There was always just a character who's like, yeah, everything he does is just weird. Not like it's weird because of this reason or any kind of justification. Or
yeah, or like he has some sort of central belief about yeah, what, exactly. why or, he's being yeah. weird.
Because his dad died having an extreme day. He's been trying to recapture yeah. the magic. So yeah, it's a very standard like road trip movie of like, oh, we got to go get my grandfather's car because he died. And then we're going to get money.
Oh, that's
we can
what
come
they
back.
Were doing the road yeah. trip for? Oh.
Yeah. Well,
no, they were doing the road trip for something else first. And he
initially,
he was taking
just
a little
like,
vacation down
yeah,
to Mexico.
Yeah, it was like, we always wanted to do it. We all saved our money for the summer. We're going to yeah. go. Because mm-hmm. we were extreme boys.
But then the road trip, because it goes from we go from
Mexico
to California to Seattle and Portland.
All the way up to Canada, right? Yeah, because yeah. they they go to Alaska.
At the end, they go to Alaska.
That's right,
yeah,
that's
they fly
right, yeah.
to Alaska. And the VO is doing so much work to get them from place to place. And we should say that every 8 minutes in this movie is a 4 to 6 minute montage of people
of doubles
of not our actors yeah.
not
doing
our actors,
extreme stunts
yeah.
yeah and it's such a smart it's a smart idea for a movie at the time where it's just like we only have to write 65 pages of material
oh sure
and
yeah.
then just show
stock
skateboarding
footage.
Videos
yeah yeah,
yeah. I mean
I
genius
was describing it as
way.
Like the stuff you'd see on the TV screens at like a sports pizza parlor you
yes,
know like it was
yes.
just that the whole time
but it was like the youth group
oh
den
God.
With the foosball table and the ping pong table like this
yeah.
is what they would probably
totally.
Project
yeah because yeah. we got so many people requesting this like I always watched this we grew up watching it it's such a big movie in my life
so,
the reason
so, I don't know if anyone said this is a big movie
no, No, that's
in
exactly
my life.
What they said.
Wait, no, I'm going to back Caroline up on this a little bit for real, because because when I tried to watch the link you originally sent me, it wasn't working. So I found it on YouTube. Some dude had uploaded it in 8 parts or 10 parts,
oh, God.
And I started watching it in parts. But one thing I started doing was scrolling, and they were very bad rips. But I started scrolling down to read the comments.
Uh-huh. Ooh, yes.
And so many of the comments were like, I love this movie. This is the fart scene. People writing quotes. And this is a dude like, who put it up himself. Each one of them has several hundred views.
Wow.
This guy put him up himself. He's not like an official. And then even on part 9, they're like, you're killing me. No one's uploaded part 10. What happened, man? And like, I love this movie. So many compliments about the movie that I started to think it was like a psyops to believe like that, like a campaign to make. Oh, and that's
something wrong with me that I didn't like
yeah.
this movie.
Yeah. Well, I think that's like, that's when I realized the Christianness of it all. When I was like, this, for any port in the storm, if you're a Christian kid who's only allowed to watch
yeah,
like,
imagine you have nothing else.
Yeah.
It immediately, yeah.
Yeah, like actually. My childhood was the exact opposite, which is because we were home alone all the time. So that's why I grew up watching like movies where guys get their arms broken and women have their tits out before their heads get cut off
sure,
when
sure.
I was 9.
So a woman in a jean jacket covered with grease is a mechanic job is not exactly doing it for you.
What a wild dance, because there's a scene in the movie where you first meet the character is played by Kessie Ray. What's her name in the movie?
Yeah, who knows?
Blondie.
Miranda?
The cousin. The cousin of the goofy guy.
Yeah. Cousin of is Matt. Matt
cousin
has
goofy.
A name. I like Matt. I think he's the hottest
you
one.
You loved Matt.
I mean, he is handsome.
Despite
and
him
is.
Being canceled
and
for
like,
the turban.
Look how weird he is. I
but
like,
I,
he's cute.
I will say, Rufio's in this, Dante Bosco.
That's right.
And he is... still got it.
Oh, yeah.
His voice was strange in this movie, right? Was it higher than it usually is?
Was there like a lot of ADR in
it
this movie
like
too?
It.
Because a lot, people were just the voiceover. And tell me if this actually happened, because I couldn't tell if I had a weird. Did at one point they communicate via voiceover?
Yes, there is a very strange
yeah.
scene.
All right, where Matt's like, I'm going to talk to you via voiceover.
Yeah, and he just stares at the camera.
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
And there is...
this movie does a lot in that they're trying. They're throwing everything against the wall.
Like, it's formally experimental in the way that reminded me of, like, Goodfellas or, like, a Scorsese film from that era where it's just like, let's see what sticks, guys.
Oh, Amanda, that was her name. Amanda. Oh, no, sorry. Amanda was the sister.
Oh, who dies.
Referee's our sister Amanda. She was strong. Unfortunately, she wasn't strong enough to beat leukemia. And she was only 15 when she said goodbye.
And then they just move on with that exposition.
Watching this movie, that was the first moment where I was like, ah, that's the Christian
I'm in good
stuff.
Hands.
Yeah, that's the Christian. Yeah. Ooh, now we got ourselves a film, boys. Yeah.
But it truly wasn't dogmatic in the way that you would expect it to be. Just like a lot. It was almost like people begrudgingly taking notes of like, can you make this a little more Christian?
Well, let's just talk. I think a fun thing would be like, what do you think some of the Christian moments of this were?
I think the only Christian moments are the scene by the pool between our main character and Blondie girl, and then the talk in the donut shop where they talked about like why God allowed Amanda to die. Also, why did God allow Blondie
to
leave? Yeah,
yeah, that was like the end. That was towards the end of the movie.
Yeah,
where it's like maybe God knew what she was going through and like helped her to survive. Yeah.
I truly think that's it, though.
Yeah.
But I noticed a couple other things. So that's why I wanted to talk to you about it. Our blonde, the one girl to the four guys, mm-hmm. notices her crush give his groceries to the homeless family outside the convenience store.
After fully driving through a whole homeless man's shopping cart at that gas station.
And an old woman in the grocery store.
Yeah, because they had diarrhea from drinking water after, which they had to drink because it was after hot sauce. For a Christian movie, there is like some weird goofy stuff with like a dead rat, farts and stuff, but little minor things throughout where you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, even like the problem of how do we show that these guys are going gaga over this girl?
Right.
But in a Christian movie.
Yeah, where she's not compromising herself and they're not like degrading.
And we're not
going to
do Phoebe Cates and Fast Times. Yeah. So our version is like, what about a nice tight jean jacket?
Yeah.
Right,
well, and I don't know if you noticed, but when Matt is talking to like the guy who's really into her and she's you know doing her slow motion walk through the smoke or whatever, he's like, she prays like 100 times a day and that does all this other stuff.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, and that was like a positive in
that
the
was
column
a brag
like
that was
hotness.
A brag about her.
And I was like, okay, so she's like the dream church girl kind of person.
And then there was another line later not towards the end of the movie, it's something to the effect of like well, why don't you introduce? You got to tell me some of that. You got to show me some God stuff or whatever. And the other guy was like, she already did.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there's like a moment. Yeah, he's like, you got to tell me some of this God, this religious stuff someday. And then after she walks away,
oh, you got to take me to church sometime.
Yeah,
and I think she just did.
That's
yes,
right,
yes,
that's right,
at
yes,
the
yes,
campfire.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Now I will say we did get this a copy of this on DVD from a very nice listener. From, I believe, at least 2 years ago. And I've just had it sitting in a closet in my apartment
serious?
Since then. Yeah.
Because we tried to watch this before. We couldn't find like a watchable version online.
Yeah. And so this nice listener sent this in, said, Kevin and Caroline, thank you so much for all your amazing work, blah, 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 blah. I could have just left that out. And she said, one of the best commute buddies, enjoy the movie, Kelsey. P.S. I included an envelope to send it back. Take your time and send it back when you are ready. Smiley face. Thanks.
Kelsey.
Lost the envelope. And
oh,
I do not know where it
is. So if Kelsey still listens to this podcast, if she's not pissed. Yeah, she stopped listening out of spite when they stole my fucking movie.
GCF is a pair of thieves.
Yeah. No, send us your address. We will get it back to you safe and sound. I promise.
Autographed.
Yeah. Yeah.
By us.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Kevin will lick it for you and stuff.
No, I'll lick it again. Yeah, I guess.
He'll put a cookie in there.
But on this DVD, there is, in case you're curious, a commentary track from our actors who worked
really?
So hard on on the movie. And you do get behind-the-scenes gems, like for Rufio's pool scene. Like,
kid, man.
This was some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen. That one
outtakes of this.
Yeah, this is my favorite.
They said, you know, do this to this kid, and this kid was crying.
Yeah. They're like,
you made
splash
him, cry.
Him. Just splash him. Dante attacked him.
The assistant manager Turbin, I just was
Ooh.
Reminded about
oh,
that.
Oh, you forgot Oof. About that? The Turkish sailor restaurant?
Yeah. goofy guy works at a Turkish or like an Indian food restaurant. He is wearing a turban. And they even add some light to that on the commentary track as well.
Oh, no.
Of the Turkish sailor. The Turkish sailor.
Remember shooting the scene, you guys?
What was the line that got cut out?
You look like
Sim
Salabim.
Oh, it's a good thing,
no,
too.
No, it's a real good thing.
Bad. Shh.
There's like this weird tension on the commentary track.
There's tension in the movie too, where I think that that's outside of the script.
Uh-huh.
There's a scene in the movie that feels like they're riffing, that it's not scripted.
Which one?
Someone says, "Dude, you're being a girl," and she says, "There's nothing wrong with being a girl," but it's all kind of over talk. And then two people sort of go, "Oh yeah, yeah, you're right." And it felt like that was just like a riff where someone accidentally riffed a sort of pseudo misogynistic thing.
Yeah.
And she defended it. And I'm calling this guy misogynistic. I've referred to this woman as she three times.
Blonde hottie.
Yeah. Blonde lady, titty chick, called out the patriarchy.
Christian Amy Smart.
Right?
Isn't she totally like the Varsity Blues?
They saw Road Trip.
Yeah.
Is it called? Is it just called Road Trip, that movie?
Yeah.
It feels like a movie that only exists in my mind, but it for sure exists.
Yeah, with Tom Green and Breckin Meyer. This is Road Trip. They, with a montage of skate videos for each.
And, so much. And so much of that.
And not impressive either. Like some of the snowboarding and stuff was cool. Or like the paintball snowboard fight was at least, oh, I haven't seen that before.
That was cool.
But there was like, I think a 19-minute montage of them doing some mildly interesting skateboard.
There's surfing, there's skating, there's dirt biking in the sand, there's snowboarding, there's snowboard paintball in the opening of the movie, there's a kung fu fight with rival
over campers. A campground campsite,
and then there's another paintball war too, right, where they kind of take it a little more seriously, or it's like
with they have to set up the Mike and Ike, so it comes back later at the end of the movie.
So there's like 10 of these sequences in the movie, each one of them 3 to 5 minutes long, that have minimal dialogue, no story. They're like songs in a Disney movie.
Like a little needle drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious like what they were thinking, like about their target audience, obviously.
That's the main thing, like
kid, late teens, I guess, that have a lot of energy or something. They're like, want to see this. But it's, now that I think about it, like I can't think of a lot of Christian movies that were made for older teenagers specifically. Like there's adults, there's little kids.
There's kids, but like teens.
And then there's like preteens, and then there's nothing like for adults who want to like date women, but also still want to like fart with a lighter.
Yeah.
You know, that tender age.
By the way, that tender age is 37.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
How tender he is.
This reeks of full sleeve pastor. You know what I mean? Like this reeks of like, dude, God was the first extreme athlete, man.
You don't think Jesus didn't hotbox the disciples back in the day?
I don't know.
It feels like a freaking frat in the temple.
They're not even that heavy handed. Like it's even a lighter touch on some level. Like they really had to just kind of left side try to figure out a way to put some morality in this. Like this was a long sketch of like
this was
boys being silly.
This was probably a not that funny B version of Road Trip that had Christianity added to it.
Totally,
you know what I mean? Like a Christian production company bought this.
It absolutely feels like an afterthought rather than like the impulse of there's a pastor who loses his son and then something happens to his family. Where it is a lot more
there's
baked in.
Nothing in the like, if you outline the movie or write the synopsis of the movie, there's nothing in it that says Christianity.
No.
It's only in like dialogue and a couple of actions that it even comes in.
You kind of have to be paying attention to notice it.
It would have stood out a little bit, but I might have missed it if you didn't say like, hey, we're watching this Christian movie for the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I might have completely missed it.
You might have thought you were going insane when the dialogue did happen. You're like, hey, it's well, one of the things that actually did make me feel crazy is after main guy and Blondie have the fight by the pool and he throws a chair into it, the next day she leaves and leaves him a note with the following plug for abstinence.
Dear Brian, I have to go. There's so much I want to say, and you have every reason to be confused. I've made some mistakes in my life. I've done things I regret.
Like what?
I trusted guys who said I love you, and I woke up the next morning alone. I'm not going to do it again. It may sound crazy, but I'm waiting for my wedding night. And Brian, I knew about the bet, but it didn't matter. I don't expect you to understand all this.
Caroline, you should host
me
like this.
If I've hurt you in any way.
Kevin, what happened?
I loved our time together.
The bet wasn't about betting her, though, so I thought that was... Yeah, the bet was just getting her to do something she didn't want
to
do.
Like singing!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the bet was about. And which she was like, she knew
you
about.
Were just flirting with me because the bet or something?
No, sex was at no point on the table.
No, it wasn't. That's why I felt like, was I not paying attention? It's just, she took it to the nth degree of like... We can't fuck.
No, she didn't. You
know, they like kissed at the pool twice or something.
I mean, but maybe you at a similar age, at a similar time in your life, if you kiss someone by a pool, you would think.
I guess
you're going to Smash Town soon. Like there's no other destination.
Oh, for sure.
You'd be
playing
that.
I don't know. Also, the actors on the commentary track had something to say about this too.
Oh, great.
Waiting for my wedding night.
Waiting for
your wedding night. I know about the bet. You ruined it.
All the guys at the same time, waiting for your wedding night.
Yeah, like it's Rufio. Profound.
It is a profound thought. It's
a
very good.
It's a good. See, it's just. It's see. That's a society we live in. That it's so.
Exactly. Yeah. Sort of a testament to the times we're in. Right.
No one said anything.
No one finished a sentence.
Yes. No one's had a predicate.
Right. We're waiting for.
It's actually, you know, it's actually good to be a part of a film that has like strong morals.
It is.
I don't know, seriously.
Yeah.
So many films these days, they go from, like, kissing at the pool to being in bed. Mm-hmm.
But we stopped that.
We stopped that right here.
We are moral.
They're also, like, making fun of themselves.
Yeah.
Put another point of view out there.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah, that's true.
I thought it was crazy that I watched this movie for this podcast. It's even crazier that if you watched it and then also listened to the
commentary track,
you've got real problems.
I know. And I skimmed through the commentary track. We actually watched it together last night. That was a fun experience.
That was really fun.
Did you watch it by yourself, Gabrus? I'm sorry.
Yes, that's okay.
Oh, man.
Always invite Kevin over.
Yeah, I watched it while working out last night.
Oh, nice. Okay.
In my home office.
Yeah, and the angrier made you that you had to
prime
do this
way
for
to
the
watch
STEM
Extreme
show.
Days.
Yeah. Just shirtless doing dumbbells while being
I do love this. Like, as a proposition, like I know you're in West Hollywood, but what if you had to drive out to Pasadena? It's 5:30 to 6 o'clock. Now, let me finish, and you have to watch an hour and a half long movie on a bad YouTube rip because my leak didn't work before. Now, let me finish. It's going to take about 2 hours.
I'm
going to
email
record.
You five times.
Yeah, right. And I'll email you the same itinerary, like, hey, thanks for doing this. This definitely isn't a copy and paste where I just fill in the blanks of other people. And it definitely says, like, thanks, Alice. We'll see you next week or whatever. Does that sound fun?
Very generous.
As
of
an
you.
Evening. I don't understand, too, what exactly they were grappling with in the donut shop about, like, burnout of that. Can I play just like a quick part of it?
Yeah.
So we can.
No.
I just wanted to be with her. Just hang in her world.
Hang in her world.
Okay.
Hang brain in her world.
Remember when Amanda got sick? I'd stay up all night begging God to heal her. But he didn't. She died anyway. All right, Brad, what's this got to do with Jesse? Everything.
Who cares?
Everything. Don't you get it? The more you hope, the more you get burned.
Brian, you know what, man? You've been giving me this speech for like the last 10 years, okay? And I don't know why she died. Okay, I don't
get
have that answer.
Over it.
I don't.
Move on.
It doesn't help me, Will.
Being bitter isn't going to help either, Brian. Come on, give God a break. I mean, don't you think...
The editing is even worse.
Why don't you think that it hurt...
Yeah, it's lynching and all.
Hurt God to watch Amanda suffer like she did.
It hurt God to what?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm. You ever think
don't
about that?
You get it, Brian.
Brian?
Jesse was put in our lives as a gift. Okay?
Blondie.
Jesse.
Well, I blew it.
Yeah, you did.
Everything about her is beautiful.
All right, scene over.
What's wrong with this person?
Everything about her is beautiful.
Everything about her.
I guess you have to like, if you're become, yeah, if you're making it a Christian movie, you have to say certain things. Like, he either has to say something like that, or he has to say like, I can't wait to marry her.
Yeah, it's like her soul and just what she's brought out of me.
Be intentional with her.
Yeah, but the idea of like, don't you think it hurt God to I kill know. Her.
Yeah, like, who are you to cry? God had to watch that.
He hated that he had to do it, but he did.
Imagine every time you complain, someone was like, well, imagine how pissed God is.
Ooh, fair point. It is just like an ultimate trump card in any situation,
you think
I guess.
God likes getting the flu? No.
Like, for example, on the phone today, I said to my mom, I'm like, oh, I got to fly back to New York. I've only been in LA for like 9 days. I have no desire to fly. And she's like, well, at least you're not afraid of flying, because she's like kind of she's afraid to fly. And I was like, yeah.
Okay. Well, true. At least your shoes aren't filled with poo poo.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I want to check cool. it.
Right.
Yeah. It's like it's such a, and that kind of speaks to the whole movie, right? Of like the half-hearted. What is the core of this? Because usually it's so bombastically like, yes, we get it.
Yeah.
The tone of this movie too is fucking pendulous. It goes from like, it swings one way where it's like they're lighting farts on fire. your boyfriend takes his box. Matt takes his, excuse me.
Brother.
Whatever, Blondie, yeah. Blondie. And Matt.
Matthew.
Sad number.
His backstory. His grandfather. Yeah.
He jumps under the covers and like takes his underwear off at one point.
And rubs his butt all over the...
To claim the bed. Yeah. It was a cool, smart
Which
move.
Which I found out on the commentary track was a place they shot pornography a lot. Apparently. That was a location they used to
believe that.
And they talked about how nasty that place was.
It was gross.
Yeah, and then it goes to like this...
Well, it's a rom-com.
Right, but
that's
it goes,
what the movie is.
And then there's a moment where like Dante Bosco's standing out in the like looking out at the ocean. He's like, my grandfather has died. Like, well, we're going, man. He's like, we can't. You know, and it's like all this weird shit. And you're like, what is this movie? And it's like, we're going to bring the girl with us that we are tagging along to.
She's got nothing to do.
And don't forget the ninja scene and the spoon game scene.
Oh, the spoon game.
The spoon game was a tasteful 12 minutes long.
Oh my God. I remember I was watching the spoon scene and I was like, they know that we're ahead of it now.
I like movies where it feels like you're there in real time. Yeah,
like they're treating you like they treat Blondie. Yeah. Lori.
Jesse.
Jesse's her name. But honestly, like, because I think oftentimes, like, the most interesting thing to talk about with some of this stuff is, like, what were they trying to say? Like, what is it that they're getting at when it's like, oh, yeah, the fact that Jesse went away and your sister died of leukemia are the same thing, and that God is sad about both of them, kind of.
And you have to be hopeful.
Uh-huh, yeah. No hope. You get burnt. Which we've all felt, obviously, at some points. But it was so vacuous of even that, of even the bombast of like, and that's why the Lord is working the blah, 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 blah.
I mean, the movie is 15 set pieces, mm-hmm. right? And like, some of the set pieces are drinking hot sauce, some of them are snowboarding, mm-hmm. but like, it literally is just like, oh, we should do the spoon game. Like, you can break this movie down, and when you say the spoon game scene, you don't have to even say like, well, what's happening in that scene? Because it is just the spoon game that's happening. Yeah. Just drinking hot sauce.
Just the skateboard.
Wait, these are just junior high things that happen that they made into movies,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Like, drinking hot sauce and doing like paintball stuff and
I can't believe I can't believe this movie doesn't have a scene where they're trying to make Matt pass out. You know, where he's like hyperventilating and or like where they're
like
cracking Jesse's back. I'm trying to think of like all the stupid shit you did in junior high.
Yeah, trying to get on the roof.
Yeah, yeah. Can't believe there wasn't a roof thing. Yeah.
Or the devil red eye, which I'm sure we're all familiar. Do you know the devil red eye?
No.
Oh God.
Kevin, what happened to you?
What? This is a mission trip memory too.
Oh, okay.
The devil red eye is when two bare ass men how to describe it? One of them bends over and one of them gets on the other one's back, but his back is on his back.
So they're back to back.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're back to back, but he's like carrying him so he can walk with him.
Yeah.
And then both.
Caroline is doing a perfect demonstration with her hands. Okay. Yes.
But their position and their skin stretches in a way from that position that both their ass cheeks are spread that you can just see straight down the barrel.
Yeah.
And they called that a double red eye.
I know. Now I know what you're talking about.
What?
Kevin.
What, did you call it something different?
No, we. I know what the red eye is.
Yeah,
we
okay.
Do, yeah, but we never did the double red eye.
Yeah.
Wait.
Hang on. Do you have questions?
What's the point of it? Just to see it? Just to see their bones?
Did you guys ever? Did you guys funny? Do the atomic sit-up?
No, what's that?
The atomic sit-up is like one of the same thing like a junior high prank. You go, do you think you could do a sit-up while I'm holding a towel down over your head?
Uh-huh.
And so you like demonstrate it once. You're like, someone tries to hold it down and you're like fighting it with your abs and like your friend is holding it. And they're like, and like Kevin goes, yeah, I think I could do that. You get down. And then, Caroline holds a towel over your head, but over your eyes. I stand over you, drop my pants, and then you are pushing so hard when she pulls a towel out, your head flies into my ass.
Boom. No, this sounds like a dream for you. I'm surprised you're not just in heaven right now.
Psychotic.
Okay, guys, we just stopped down and did it.
Back to
back. All right. For we're back. Time, we edited out 12 minutes of content. And we're a family.
We played the full spoon
double
game.
That's right. Eye. Wow.
Yeah. No, was there a equivalent of that?
Did you get fired from Starbucks when someone came in and ordered a double red eye?
I was like,
coming right up.
Hey, double red eye.
Brian.
I haven't served up one of those in 20 years.
Well, back to back like Trebek and Sajak.
The customer is always right. Let's do this. It's just really the funniest part was the walking. It's just like imagine this like creature, this beast walking towards you. With these two eyes. Oh, man. Boy. There's truly nothing else to talk about with this movie. There's not a lot of depth we could plumb.
No.
Unless you
well,
got notes.
Well, the GCF theme song played. That was cool.
I mean, does the soundtrack slap, yes or no?
It slaps.
There was one song.
If you're into this type of music, there's some pop. There's songs I recognized in this movie.
Really?
I think so.
What is that? PAX 217. That's a band that has a cameo in the movie. Hangnail, Skillet, Audio Adrenaline, Toby Mac. Bleach, Earth Suit, which is what we're listening to right now.
Maybe I...
Newsboys.
It just sounds like something you heard.
They're all like sound-alikes to songs from the time. Right? Uh-huh.
This was a huge song growing up. One time... I'm assuming these are all white men. Anyway,
that's like a 311. That's like a 311 of Christianity.
Totally,
sort of.
Yeah.
So maybe that's I recognized a lot of like I guess what they were proxies of or what their facsimiles of.
And it ends on the plane with Entertaining Angels with the rom com. Oh, you didn't get to see it. I mean,
oh, I did. I caught it on the Vimeo link.
Oh, on the Vimeo
you
link.
Found the ending.
Oh, that's right. I went today. I was like, "Fuck it. I guess I'm gonna go back and watch the ending."
So nice.
What were you gonna
say? Isn't it weird when she's like teaching at the school, and then the kid's like, "Do you date freshmen?" It's like, what?
Yeah,
why?
She's like, ha, 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 no.
Yeah. There's a little bit of harassment. Like, oh, you just don't know how to take no for an answer, do you?
For sure.
What's his name?
And then they just interrupt the thing that she's doing in front of everyone.
Yeah, I got nothing
like,
better.
Okay, yeah.
The conversation before that too is crazy. Where it's like 30 seconds, any more than that, it seems like you're begging. 45 seconds, and you, they're just talking about that outside of a door, you know. And you're like, I don't even know what.
Oh, with the ASMR shots of their mouths.
Going to.
Yeah. Oh yes. Yeah. Oh, that was the other thing I meant to talk about this movie. They make some strong choices.
Yeah.
They make weird choices.
They make choices.
Which I actually maybe makes this movie. Arguably interesting.
Amazing.
Yeah. They just do things with like with a weird choice that in the hand to hand, it's a real fight, it feels like.
Yeah.
And but they're speaking with like the like Hong Kong action movie
like
sort
delayed
dubbing, you know, but not with Asian accents. But they are like, you have dishonored me. Yes, tonight we will fight. You know, doing all that shit.
I mean, you have to imagine everyone involved with that scene after they were done was the proudest they've ever been. Yeah.
Well, I thought some of the stuff they were doing like looked actually good for like
for
a
sure.
movie
her
that,
kicks were good. Yeah. Yeah, she had some high kicks.
And Dante Bosco is like an actual like jock stud guy. So like his shit looked good too. It was fun. But
see nuggets in the rough, guys.
Yeah. And then it just wait and then cuts to like this movie has this kung fu sequence to determine who gets a campsite.
Yeah.
They lose. They go, needless to say, let's just say they whooped us. Cut to them at a campsite. cut to the next morning, but we did have to camp next to sewage. Cut to them in the car. It's like, I don't even understand.
Oh, the sewage thing, by the way, because was it Matt that goes in there? Is he constantly shitting in the movie? Is that his run?
I think he gets Montezuma's revenge in the beginning of the movie and he still has it.
Yeah, because he goes into the porta potty at night and then they cut to the next morning and he comes out.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like, a funny cut.
They set him up to be just like the generally goofy guy, but he ends up coming across like the Michael Keaton movie Multiplicity. He's coming across like number four. <I'm sorry. laughs> He has like, hi, Steve. You know, he's got like glasses. He's got goggles on. they make a meal out of any moment. They're like, oh, cool, we got to go food shopping. It's like, well, let's have a grocery cart. Yeah, and then that's just 6 minutes of that with no real repercussions, no real...
It's just pure delight.
And to me, that's cinema.
They're fun.
That's what cinema is, first and foremost.
The movie's inarguably fun.
The only thing that I was like, okay, was there's that road trip where the scene where everyone's asleep but Blondie and the guy.
And they talk on the phone?
They talk on the phone in the car.
That was cute.
That was cute.
That was cute.
I would do that.
That
was, on a road trip.
That was very cute.
You would do that.
That worked.
Yeah, that was fun.
Maybe I will do that. Okay.
Hello.
On a road trip, we go. What? No. Don't forget
the Prime Minister.
Yeah. And we keep just doing like one-upping, escalating, going. Aggressive, offensive
it
accents.
It won't end.
I'm confident your banter will be better.
Thank you. What a nice compliment.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. The way this works, John Gabris, is we're going to give it a roast, a toast, or a space between. Holy roast. We send, or holy toast, rather, we give it a thumbs up and send it all the way to heaven. Holy roast, we send it downstairs to hell. Or if we're not sure one way or another, we can do, you know, something your people have done for many generations, which is send it to the space between. That's purgatory, baby. I said your people have done.
Yeah,
I don't know. Catholics aren't sending them to purgatory.
It's just what we talk about it.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll say let's toast them, baby.
You're going to give it a toast?
A toast?
Yeah.
Wow.
For the genre of film it is, I think it does something. It's making interesting choices. It's not It's not really sappy at any moment. It's not really funny or entertaining at any moments either. But it's just kind of wild and weirdly manageable to watch. Like, I didn't, like, hate it.
It's almost like saying, this food was edible.
Right,
I could eat it.
This food was edible, but when I sat down to eat it, I was under the impression I was going to be eating a pile of dog shit. So thankfully, it was just edible. Yeah.
No. Oh, lovely. What do you say, Caroline?
Wow, that's convincing.
You were in full roast mode before then.
Yeah, well, I was maybe on Space Between because I do think it kind of achieved what it set out to do, which was like entertain juniors in high school, you know? And so in that way, I think it's very successful. It's really bizarre. I think Matt is a star. I love
his
style. I think Lil Nas would wear his outfits now.
Lil Nas? You call him Lil Nas.
What is it? Lil Nas?
Nas?
Nas. Oh, yeah. It's probably Lil Nas.
How are you on TikTok so much?
And this is not.
Gabers, you can follow Caroline at Caroline's Farts on TikTok.
I don't even know TikTok. I have not even downloaded the app.
It's so fun.
It's not for us, right?
Yes, it is. It's fun.
White men.
My mom's on it. Oh.
No, I meant people over
30.
No,
all the other apps are.
You know what? That makes sense. That's right. Actually, that isn't for you. You guys can stay off. I think I'm going to give it a space between in that it's just bizarre and sometimes unwatchable, but then sometimes pretty entertaining. So
I will say maybe I've been swayed by the YouTube comments because I was surprised to see how many people really liked this movie.
Really fond
and it made me feel like, what? Like, it made me feel like, I guess this touched some people. Like, the farting sequence is amazing. People quoting shit on not even the part, like on part 8, they're like, for the love of donuts, this movie rules. You know, they're like, they clearly it's in their lexicon
this was
the way
their
Dumb and Dumber.
Quotable.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Totally.
You're having an arc with this that you had with religion, with seeing your mom be affected.
Yeah,
by
by the end of it, I'm like, right. Well, Father it was important Valentine. To some people.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever makes you happy.
Hey,
you know?
It's not hurting anybody.
What would you say?
I would say space between the roast, but I'm going to be positive. I'll say space between.
Hey,
at least.
All right.
But you can vote for it at Christian Fun Pod. We'll put out a poll with this episode. You can give it a roast, a toast, or a space between. So get out there and...
Pokemon, go to the polls.
We're coming
Ballers?
Up on full... like 4 full years of me
whoa, talking about
listening
that.
To thinking about just worshiping Pokemon Go to the polls. I wouldn't have it any other way. Okay, let's dim the lights. Let's light the candles. Let's bring it into a more worshipful space.
I like this.
A service of some sort. Because Gabrus, on other shows, you might plug yourself or promote your projects. We're not here to do that. We're here to lift them up. It's a loving, humble prayer to the Lord. And we'll start with Caroline.
Lift your humble prayers to me at Caroline's Farts on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok.
And Letterboxd.
I'm popping off also on Letterboxd. I have brand continuity across all the platforms. Mm-hmm. And this week I'd like to lift up an email newsletter that I get called Longform. You can sign up at longform.org.
Wow, the fear of God from Lawson's face last week really got
really
into
stung.
You.
any specifics about this letter you want to give us?
Yeah, I do. Thank you. I would like to share that.
It's a white supremacy letter.
But they're long. It's good. It's like, it's a roundup of kind of like the best kind of long articles or essays on the web for the week or whatever.
Oh, cool.
And I've read a lot of really interesting stuff. It's all across various genres and topics and stuff like that. Some of it's like important news things and some of it's just like a murder story.
I feel
whatever.
Like I will 100% sign up for this when I go home.
Good.
Read it the first two times.
And then always delete them.
Get it and not delete it for like 6 months.
The rest
months,
of your life.
And then delete it for 6 months and then eventually unsubscribe.
It's good. Yeah. I will say another thing that's kind of helpful is when they lay out the title, they'll also lay out how long it takes to read the article. So they'll say like 30 minutes, 25 minutes or whatever.
They're like 30 minutes, comma, 40, Gabrus. Whoa.
Hey.
I mean, I appreciate
how could you possibly
it,
know
also,
that?
How dare you?
Well, now I don't budget my time properly.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'd recommend that.
All right, Caroline, we turn to Gabrus.
I lift your humble prayers to at Gabrus on all social media.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you nailed down Gabrus? Just Gabrus?
Yeah, well, I had to. I was John Gabrus on Twitter, and someone was camping on Gabrus forever. But then I reached out to Twitter, and I was like, this person hasn't used this. They haven't posted once in like 5 years. Can I have it? And they gave it to me.
Nice.
And then when I was on some show that they wanted to verify me on Instagram, and I at Gabrus Picks was what I was on Instagram, but someone else had at Gabrus, and it was a fake. It was me. They were posting pictures of me, but under the name.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Look at that to you, right?
Yeah. So I was like, well, while you're giving me the blue check, can you also just get me that URL? Because this guy's like even in person, or person is impersonating me.
Nice. And you're ready to fight this same fight on TikTok when you see the copycat accounts on there.
Oh, yeah.
And the parody accounts. Yeah.
It's an 11-year-old child.
As long as I beat like my immediate family to these platforms, I usually get my name. Unless apparently the same spelling as my name, Gabrus, is plural for a term called Gabru, G-A-B-R-U, which is a Punjabi word that means like bro, dude, guy.
Oh, so my like, gosh. So it's just like
if you look bros. Hashtag Gabrus, it's me or it's a group of Punjabi guys like all dressed up, ready to go out and party with like their turbans and cool outfits on and stuff. Like it's like guy
good company.
Time. Yeah, I know. It's great.
Yeah.
And I love that I'm just like white, Italian, European guy. And then the other version of my name is something completely different.
That's so crazy.
Oh, and then I should lift up some secular art.
Yeah, if you want to.
Yeah.
Sure.
If you got something.
Oh,
what was the last movie that made you cry?
Oh, that's a good question. I will say, you know what really touched me? I didn't cry during it, but I think it's really wonderful. John Mulaney and the Sack Lunch Bunch.
Yeah, that's sweet, right?
So agree.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Uh-huh.
It was really good. And I have some friends with kids. I want to ask them if they watch it with their kid what they thought, because I really was like touched by it.
Would kids like it?
Would kids like it? I think they would, because all the humor is just silly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like sarcasm, which kids like sometimes.
Yeah,
too.
And then
yeah.
It weirdly talks about death a lot, which
a
lot is kind of like
death.
Real.
Yeah.
Like, which is kind of real. And then the guy from Hadestown is so good in it.
So funny.
Yeah. And all those conversations about what kids are scared of is so real and so upsetting. I love that moment. The one girl who's like, I'm scared of home invasions.
Yeah.
And then the person, Marika Sawyer, is like interviewing him. Is like, do you think any of you get any of your mom's fears, the things she's afraid of? And she's like, yeah, home invasions.
<She's>
like, and
I was like, definitely home invasions.
Of course.
Yeah.
Poor girl.
No,
I know. In the balance of like, oh, aren't these nice children being so genuine? And then also like, oh, these are all child actors deeply enmeshed in like the New York scene of child actordom, which we don't understand out here. You know,
although
we understand
I was reading
like
that
the Oaks. And
Mulaney, when he was auditioning the kids, he's like, I don't want TV kids or movie kids because those kids are strange. Like they're not like children anymore.
Yeah.
And so he tried to pick like musical theater kids.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Who are still more of like a person.
Right. Mm-hmm. Those kids were charming AF.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed that.
Someone texted me, what's your song of the moment right now? Like, what's a song you can't stop listening to? I said, well, gotta be honest and say Grandma's Got a Boyfriend.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I know. It's weird how pop culture, because
so
like, it's like Grandma's Got a Boyfriend or Misbehavin' are the two songs that I'm like hooked on.
Those are the two. Thank you so much, Gabrus.
Thank you.
For me, hey, thank you. What a polite podcast. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Port everywhere. I will lift up an album called Young Enough by Charlie Bliss. I'm just looking at you to see what the expression would be.
It's complex. I'm having a hard time guessing how Caroline feels about it. She's maybe actively pursuing confusion.
Oh, she's mad about it. She's actually really mad. Oh, no, but she's having a laugh and like, she's just kidding around.
I think it's an occupational therapy class. What is Caroline feeling?
Like learning expression.
Hey, that's what I call hosting this podcast. It's just like, just me grasping in the dark for like, are you enjoying this right now?
And mine's like, what's Kevin's deal?
Well, and that's the thing I do regret about not being a video podcast is you don't get to see like the gestures and the body language or Caroline's eyes glaze over and imagine anything else she could be doing instead of this right now.
I like doing this podcast.
I know, I'm JK.
I'm sold.
Is that convincing?
I like doing this podcast. Like let me go.
Lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Patreon.com/goodchristianfun. Leave us a review and we donate $1 to charity. This month's charity once again is
Morningstar Foundation. Helps families with kids who have severe heart conditions.
Nice.
Look them up.
Gabriel, thanks so much for joining us, buddy.
Oh, thank you guys.
What a fun, sweet, holy time with you.
So this fun to redeem my bathroom commentary with you and to
yeah,
have a
I know,
deeper
we worked
conversation.
That out. Yeah. Thank God, yeah. And I'm still pissed about that.
But by the way, I mean, the best party, it's in the bathroom.
Oh, what a way to end
later.
It.
Later. Right.
And there's nothing left to say except for an all of Pod's people said.
Amen.
And let's go out listening to the last song from this movie that I'm looking up right now, which is, of course, Entertaining Angels.
This song is pretty.
It is pretty. I like it. It's fun. Yeah. This song, what's going to be the next one? We have this song slaps. This song is a bop. This song rocks.
This song fucks.
This song fucks. What's next? What's going to be next one?
This song destroys. This, that's kind of all.
This song kills me.
This song
strangles.
Murders.
This song is absolute mood.
This song is committing a crime.
This song,
this song should be illegal. All right.
This song is causing systematic oppression.
Oh, no. I think that's the one. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Oh, hey, y'all. Y'all thought I was gone, didn't ya? Didn't ya? Well, it's 2020, and your girl's back. It's me, Amy, motherfucking Grant. I'm here, baby. Okay. We're having fun on the Good Christian Fun Podcast in 2020. Kevin and Caroline have renewed my contract for the next 6 months or so, depending on whether the show continues at all. They're not sure themselves, but, you know, it's kind of a week-to-week thing. But that's okay. I'm here to serve. I'm here to honor it. And say that next week on GCF, Kevin and Caroline are going to be talking about Jennifer Knapp. K-N-A-P-P, not N-A-P. Come on now. Little more than I can give. Little more than I deserve. Oh, I wish I would have written that one. They're going to be talking about her album, Lay It Down. And I might lie down and take a nap after record this. All right. No, I'm just kidding. Amy's got a lot of shit to do today. Okay, so that's it. I love you. I hope I hear from you or you hear from me next week. We'll see. Life is a mystery. We never know what could happen, and this could all go away at any moment. But cherish the memes, y'all, and cherish the memes. Oh, my God. I finally saw that Sorry to This Man meme. Oh, that's so funny. Keke Palmer is such a funny gal. Oh, man. Okay. Well, I'm going to go back on Twitter. Amy, Mother and Grant, over and out.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.